You know, there are texts in the Bible that I kind of keep close to my heart just sort of to remind me who I serve and what this is all about. And I've Romans 12 is like, it kind of just, I always just go there because it just tells me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to behave. And Jesus wept is one because I could actually memorize the whole verse. but it reminds me about how much Jesus loves us. I mean, Jesus wept, wrecked Lazarus, and he knew he was about to do it. But he said that she's going to have the baby, and I'm going to mess up your whole life, but it's going to be amazing. That's one I always hold close to my heart. And there's one that sort of preaches to me, and it's from Isaiah. And it's Isaiah 40, 31. The 30 says, but even youths will faint and grow weary. And 31 says, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's one that I carry kind of close to my heart because it reminds me who I serve. It reminds me what I'm about, that I don't get to be tired. I don't get to just stop, that I am one of those who will wait on the Lord, and the Lord will lift me up, and the Lord will give me strength. And so I share that with you today just as a reminder that this is what our God does for us all the time. He is with us. And this is one that I carry close to my heart. So we're talking about hope for the next 6 more weeks. We're talking about hope. And remember, we're talking about biblical hope, which is different than regular hope. Like, you know, I hope I get a pony for Christmas. It's not that kind of hope. Biblical hope is this confident expectation that the work of God has already been done, or that God will keep his promise. When we're talking about hope this week and the upcoming weeks, that's the kind of hope we're talking about. Not, I hope I get a pony for Christmas or something like that. And when I say my hope is in Jesus, it is a statement that I know that Jesus has done his work and that salvation is mine. That I have already claimed it. And so when I say that my hope is in, that's what it means. And as followers of Jesus, folks, we are all about hope. Not hoping we get a pony, but this expectant hope that the work of God has been done, that God will keep his promise. But our hope is not just in this gift of eternal life, this idea that we are already saved. But our hope is in a God that walks with us, that lives with us, that cries with us, that cares about us, a God to whom we can pray, and he listens. Our text today comes again from 1 Thessalonians. It's one of the 7 undisputed texts of Paul. And this particular one, this verses that we're talking about, he's sort of wrapping up his letter, his pastoral epistle to this church at Thessalonica that he had founded. And he has given them some advice as to how to live, and he's talked about this hope that is in Jesus as the people who died in Christ are lifted up at the day of the Lord. We talked about that last week. Here he gives some advice to the church. He writes this, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 23. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here in this text, Paul is speaking to this church that he has founded, this church that he had earlier in the chapter told them how grateful he was for them, for their love of the gospel, for their love of Jesus. He is speaking to us, I believe, in sort of two ways. First, I think he is speaking to that church at Thessalonica. I think he is also speaking to us as a church, as a body of Christ. But Paul is also speaking to us as individual believers, individual followers of Jesus. He's telling us that this is what your life should look like. This is what you as a church, this is what you as a follower of Jesus should be about. He begins this text with, "Rejoice always." Paul is telling us to be joyful in all circumstances. He is telling us to be joyful no matter what is happening in your life. Why does he make this claim? Why is he saying be joyful all the time? I mean, that's kind of a tall order. I mean, there's days I don't want to be very joyful. You ever have one of those days where you just want to like grumble and not be particularly joyful? Paul is telling us that we should be joyful because of the unmerited grace that we have been given. We should be joyful because we have a God that loves us, cares for us, walks before us, with us, and after us. A God that hears our prayers. That our hope is in Jesus, and that we are already saved. Truly, at the end of the day, what is there not to be joyful about? We know how the story ends. No matter how the story unfolds, we know that in the end, we get to walk into the arms of Jesus. That alone should bring us joy. For our hope is in God. Paul goes on to tell us to pray without ceasing. Well, I can't do that. I mean, I got to sleep, right? And then there's those moments that I'm watching football. Sometimes I pray like, please let them miss that field goal. But I don't think that Paul is telling us that we have to just pray constantly. I think what Paul is saying is that we can pray anytime, all the time. I think he's telling us what our prayer life should look like. That we should be in constant prayer with God throughout the day, all the time. It doesn't have to be a big formal thing where you get on your knees at a kneeler and you say, "Oh, Heavenly Father." That's our privilege of being a follower of Jesus, is that we get to pray to God like he's our dad, like he's our father. And that is a privilege that comes from our hope being in God. We can come to God in prayer anytime with anything. Small, large, huge, gigantinormous, or tiny. God wants to hear it all. Prayer is our main vehicle in communicating with God. And Paul is telling us that we need to be all about that prayer, that our hope is in those prayers. We don't always get the answer we want. What's that old saying? Sometimes God says no, sometimes God says grow, and sometimes God says go. We don't always get the answer we want when we pray, but all our prayers are heard. And sometimes they're answered in ways that we don't expect. Paul tells us to be thankful in everything, to give thanks all the time. No matter what your circumstances are, we are to be thankful. Thankful for all that God has blessed us with, all that God has given to us, all the work that Jesus did for us in salvation. We are to be thankful. Now that can be hard, y'all. To be thankful and grateful all the time. I mean, what does that look like? To be thankful in all circumstances. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, one of my church members lost her husband most unexpectedly. Tragic circumstances. And I went to see her, and she looked at me, and these were the first words out of her mouth. I am so thankful for all of the wonderful years I had with my husband. I mean, in the face of having just lost the love of her life, she was grateful for all that she had had. I mean, that's what thankfulness in all circumstances looks like. In the face of overwhelming odds, in the face of tragedy, there are still things that we should be thankful to God for. This hope that we have in Jesus, you know, it's not like a magic pill. It just doesn't make us thankful and hopeful. Our faith, our hope that we have in Christ is about how we respond to the circumstances that happen to us through the world. We can choose to respond and be thankful or grateful or joyful or in prayer. It's our hope in Jesus that allows us to respond that way. Joy-filled, praying with perseverance and thankful. That's what this church should look like. I think we do a pretty good job of that. But this is also what our lives should look like. Joyful, thankful, and praying with perseverance. So in this text, Paul then moves on to tell us some things that we shouldn't do. He's told us some things we should do. Be joyful, be thankful, be in prayer. And he goes on to tell us, don't quench the Spirit. Here he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about sort of the main mover in our lives. In our individual life, the Holy Spirit might look like that little quiet voice in your head that says, feed them. Or buy that medicine for them. Or stop here, or go there, call someone. That's the Holy Spirit at work in our life. We have to have time to listen to it. We have to have the courage to respond to it. And the same is true in the life of our church. We have to make sure that our ministries and the things that we are about don't become so rote that we don't have room for the Holy Spirit to move in the life of our church. I think the Holy Spirit is on the move and doing some fascinating and some interesting things in the life of this church and around Methodism. Let us assure that we do not quench the Spirit with any of our actions or our inactions. Then Paul says this, "Do not despise the words of the prophets." Here he's really talking more about the words of the prophets. He encouraged us to go on to test them, to check them out. But there are some scholars that sort of equate modern day preachers to the prophets of old who brought the word of God into places. Now look, I ain't no prophet. Hopefully I can bring a prophetic word from time to time. And you know what I love about the Methodist Church? Is we ask you to listen to it. Don't check your brain at the door. You take the words that come out of my mouth and you test them. Against what? Against Scripture. Against the teachings of Jesus. And Paul says, take what is good. Carry that with you. Take what is not good and leave it. He goes on to tell us, don't partake in evil. Just stay away from it. It's not good. I read that text and the commentary that talked about preachers sort of being the equivalent of modern day prophets. I laughed. Because that's not me. But I love the idea, though, that Paul is telling you to test the words that I say. Actually lets me sleep at night. To think that you all are testing the words that I say against Scripture and against the teachings of Jesus. Paul wants us to stay away from evil things. People, that's such a truth. We have to guard our hearts. We have to protect what comes in to hear. And it comes through our eyes a lot of times. What we choose to see, what we choose to watch, what we choose to read, what we choose to believe. And we have to be able to recognize stuff that's not good for us. And it's best just to push it away. Don't give it a place in your heart to grow and to breed and to breathe. Guard your hearts. Stay away from things that you know are not good for your soul. Joy-filled perseverance to God. That's what our lives should look like as followers of Jesus. It's what this church should be about. Let us take those three words, those three concepts of being filled with joy, grateful in all circumstances, no matter what, and praying with perseverance. Paul clearly tells us that's what we need to be about. Let's take those words, put them into our heart, and put them into practice. Starting today, in this place, and in our hearts. Let us pray. Gracious God, we don't always show it, We are so thankful. So grateful for all that you have done for us. We ask now what we can do for your kingdom. Help us, Father. Us. Let us be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community that are feeding the hungry, helping the sick, helping the grieving. Let that be us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.